Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views. And, well, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Michael Shaw. And we're going to be talking about Sustainable Development, Agenda 21, about the master plan that will lead to the destruction of life as we know it here in Western civilization. Many people are concerned about the rising price of oil. And the question is, are prices going to continue going up? Are they going to begin coming down? There's talk that they're investigating to see if there may be price manipulation. I mean, who could be doing something? Who could be manipulating the prices? Well, we know that during the last quarter of last year, Exxon made more money than at any time in the history of any American corporation. And certainly in the first quarter of this year, why British Petroleum, Shell Oil made fabulous, obscene profits, and yet, of course, what's the solution? Should we actually put a windfall profit tax on the companies so they can't make a profit? What is this really all about? Well, you have to understand, ladies and gentlemen, the solution to the problem is not to tax the oil companies more. The solution to the problem is to allow competition. If you want to go after the oil companies because they are a cartel and they work together and they conspire with one another to raise the prices, and they have intentionally created artificial shortages, and of course they manipulate the price of oil, that's fine because that's illegal. But if we were to open up the drilling here on the East Coast, the West Coast, up in Anwar, up in the off the North Shore of Alaska, we've got more oil in the United States than we know what to do with. We'd have the price down to $30 or $40 or $50 a barrel in no time at all. But it will take years to accomplish that, and you have to understand there is an agenda, and that agenda is to get you out of your car, to lower the living standards of the American people, to get you into, you know, onto a bicycle or some sort of a little electric golf cart to get around and to drive up the price of electricity, because there really are people who feel that the American public is living too well and we've got to lower their living standards. Now, you haven't heard about that. But I'm sure that Michael Shaw, who's our guest this evening, will be able to tell you a great deal about that and the real reason that the price of oil is going up. And nobody's ever going to talk about the fact that there is an organized, orchestrated, coordinated effort to lower our living standards. Good evening, Michael. Thank you so much for being with us again.
Well, it's wonderful to be with you, Dr. Stan, and the audience, of course.
Go right ahead. You pick up the story from where I left off.
Well, you know, a note on that. The British Petroleum Company was one of the original members of Prince Charles's Council on Sustainable Development, formed back in 1972. You know, the sustainable development is all about creating multinational corporate power that is then in partnership on this concept of public-private partnerships with governments. And, of course, the ultimate government is designed to be a worldwide government that does not work under the notion that human beings individually have unalienable rights. We're moving quickly that way. Our children aren't being taught about the Declaration of Independence and the American political foundation, which is based on unalienable rights. What we're doing is we're seeing a transformation of our economic system from free enterprise to this concept of public-private partnership, government and corporations, multinational corporations particularly, working hand in hand. It's down to the local level too, where local governments now give favors and massive taxpayer subsidies to home builders that are willing to engage in public-private partnership economics.
I think in other countries they call that fascism, corporate fascism, but we see the American people aren't supposed to understand what's really going on or who's responsible for it. Go right ahead, Michael.
Well, what sustainable development is the globalist movement. It is a program with a set of principles that come out from the United Nations and all the members of the United Nations. I think that's 180 countries today, and of course that's led by the United States. You know, we get the fanfare that the UN and the US, you know, break and are at odds as the U.S. Invades Iraq and the U.N. pretends they want no part of it. But in reality, it is the U.S. funding the United Nations, making the United Nations what it is. And what it is the instrument, the primary instrument for creating world government. And the way of attaining that is through a program that is vested now in every country in the world called Sustainable Development, or Agenda 21. The two terms are synonymous. So let's talk a bit about what sustainable development is. Basically, it is about establishing a new system of economics and a new system of justice. And you see American politicians today, presidential candidates particularly, running around the countryside saying, I'm going to bring us change. They never tell us what they're changing us from and what they're going to change us to. But at the core of the change that Barack Obama talks about and the core of the policies that are at the essence of what John McCain stands for is a change away from the American concept of individual freedom. It's a change away from a recognition of each man's unalienable right to his own life on his own terms, to his liberty, and to the property that he earns. The new world order would ignore any idea that individual human beings have unalienable rights. It would destroy the concept of private property, and it would eliminate any notion that the ordinary man has individual liberty. The new system of economics is that called public-private partnership. In the old days it was called fascism. But we see evidence of it everywhere on the national, international, local level, where government is subsidizing favored businesses who do government's work. An example here in Santa Cruz, really all across the country at the local level, we're finding nonprofit housing developers and or compliant home builders who work as partners with local government in exchange for federal funding to build smart growth.
Hold that thought, we'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and of course Michael is talking about how certain builders in our community and across the country work in concert with the local government so they can get federal funding. And of course, if you are one of the favored few willing to go along with that, with these public-private partnerships, now that is basically simply a code word for the fascist society, the corporate fascist society. But if you go along with that, why, you'll get permits, you'll get massive government subsidies as you begin building your low-cost housing. But of course, all of this, of course, is ultimately aimed at the control of the individual, to control the individual, to control where he lives, to control what he does, to control where he travels to, because of course they get you out of your car, they want to get you onto public transportation, they want to set up a system of informers so that they will know what everybody is doing, what everybody is thinking, just as exists in any fascist society, whether you call it communism and Nazism or corporate socialism, doesn't really matter. But we are doing this. We're setting up a system of informants in America. But the last thing they want is for the American people to understand how all of these things fit together. So you go ahead and talk about it, Michael.
Well, so this globalist program called Sustainable Development, which really directs all action, you know, people need to understand that our government is very involved. We report, the State Department reports to the UN about every 2 years on our achievements in implementing the UN's Agenda 21 or Sustainable Development Program. So we produce these thick documents proudly proclaiming our compliance to this globalist program. Of course, you know, it could easily be argued that without the U.S., there wouldn't be a UN, and the right-wing component of this effort. It's both a right-wing and a left-wing design. The right-wing component argues that the U.S. ought to be in charge of the outcome. After all, we're the only country in the world with the kind of military might that we have. And so the U.N., for the right-winger, the U.N. serves as the agent for bringing the rest of the world under our control. For the left-winger, who's more clear about the abolition of national sovereignty, you know, he just wants to make America like the rest of the world.
And, of course, basically both are misled. The thing is that the major driving force behind this effort to create a world government are the people in our State Department working in concert with the people over in Great Britain, the Anglo-American establishment. Their goal, one world government. And, of course, what people don't understand is they're always going to have the dialectic. They're going to have the left arguing with the right and the conservatives arguing with the liberals and the Republicans arguing with the Democrats. But it's all show business. It's Amos and Andy. It's, you know, it's Abbott and Costello. But, of course, on the international stage. So go ahead with the story there, Michael.
Well, I always say it's two sides of one coin.
All right.
One is a global governance, and the two sides, you get the left and the right, who combine necessary ingredients for that coming, or from their view, that coming global governance. And you cannot reach their goals without public-private partnership, meaning the right-wing fascist economic system. But you also have to have the left-wing social justice system. Our whole legal system is eroding. The idea of equal justice, you know, the ideas that the Declaration of Independence were founded upon, equal justice necessitates an understanding and a recognition of each person's unalienable rights, is being shifted to a system of equity that they call social justice. Social justice treats people as members of groups rather than as individuals. Social justice doesn't acknowledge that our rights are imbued in us by our Creator. Social justice says that we, the ruling elite, will determine what groups have what rights and when they have them. In other words, rights are granted and rights are withdrawn. They substitute the idea of equal liberty, equal justice, with this idea of social justice, which creates a system of human rights, which are really no different than animal rights. Someone determines what animal gets to do what, and when that animal has those rights, and when those rights are suddenly withdrawn. And human beings under this globalist system will be treated very similarly. And evidence of that, I think, is very apparent when one understands the population control dynamic of sustainable development. In UN documents that form, you know, much of the meat of the sustainable program, it calls for an estimate of an industrialized world society at American standards to be no more than 1 billion people. Well, today we've got about 7 billion people in the world. That means that 86% of us simply have to evaporate. So the idea that each person's life is treasured is lost in this system, this new system that is fully involved in, you know, it's taken down our governmental leaders, because there is no governmental leader that speaks out against sustainable development. Ron Paul has told me personally that Congress knows that sustainable development is there and are fully supportive of its principles. So I ask the listener, does it affect your life if 86% of the world's population is to be eliminated under the program of sustainable development?
Well, you know, that is such a difficult thing for the average American to really believe, that there could be a worldwide population agenda and that they are actively killing people throughout the world today. And yet, of course, we have the AIDS epidemic that is simply, well, there's so many people are dying in South Africa and Zimbabwe and in Zambia and a number of other African countries. They can't keep up with the, you know, with getting people buried. And, in fact, a lot of times they just put them in cardboard boxes, the bodies. And then, of course, we've got people arguing in this country there is no AIDS epidemic, just to confuse the public. I mean, this is one of the greatest human tragedies of all time. 46% of the pregnant women in Botswana today, and they're all tested in Botswana, all pregnant women, 46% are HIV infected, they're all going to die. That's simply one means of killing off people through the AIDS epidemic, and we have other epidemics. We have certainly programs, of course, of vaccination using mercury-laden vaccines that, of course, destroy fertility not only in this generation but in other generations. We have, of course, the massive increase of cancer here in this country and throughout the world. Certainly, I mean, we know that tobacco, you know, actually creates cancer of the lung, pharynx, bladder, pancreas. And so what are we doing? The United States government today is subsidizing the growing of tobacco in the United States. What's wrong with this picture? Well, you go ahead. We get to talk on the population control, but the United States is the greatest advocate of population control. We're subsidizing family planning throughout the world, and in fact it was International Planned Parenthood who worked with Communist China on their one-child policy, simply punishing everybody or forcing women to be aborted in Communist China with American tax money. But we can't let the American people know that. Why, of course, we're supposed to be this great crusader for righteousness, but unfortunately our leaders have embraced sustainable development and their population control agenda.
Now, someone had said, if I had listened to myself 10 years ago, my reaction would have been, well, that's just not possible. There are simply too many checks and balances in our system of government, in our system of economics, in the whole arrangement by which we live. And I would have dismissed the notion. But as you begin to study more closely, you find all kinds of dots that begin to link up. And for me, I would say probably the biggest, the boldest dot that I wasn't understanding of 10 years ago, but I do understand now, is the nature of our money. For globalists to take control of the world, it would sure serve their interests if they had control over the money system and the money supply. Well, today, every country in the world operates by a fiat money system that is coordinated through the Bank of International Settlements. It has its feeder organizations, groups like the World Bank and the World Trade Organization. But by fiat money, what I mean is money that's simply created out of thin air. The creation of that money out of thin air is from globalist bankers. Now, in America, that system is operated by our Federal Reserve. Well, there's nothing federal and there's nothing reserving about the Federal Reserve. It is simply a consortium of globalist bankers who do exactly that. For a couple of pennies, they can print up $100 bills. And the purpose of printing up $100 bills is to loan it out into the public sector. So someone comes along and is the original borrower of that freshly printed $100. And now it's been for 95 years, the globalist bankers, who are not identified as members of the Federal Reserve, that's all secretive, have earned interest on every dollar ever created in the U.S. since 1913. Well, that's created over this period of time, not just in this country, but in all countries around the world, a huge reserve of capital placed in the hands of the New World Order bankers. Well, what have they done with that money? They've bought up our media. They've bought up every industry that they need to buy up, that they want to buy up. They've made trillions of dollars off of us. And the average American is struggling paycheck to paycheck to pay the debts he owns. Meanwhile, the centralized bankers get wealthier and wealthier and get closer and closer to the time when they can pull the trigger on the implementation of world government and basically human enslavement for all those of us who are not one of them, and there are not very many of them.
And I think it's so important that people understand this is not imaginary, this is not paranoia. There really is a force out there working behind the scenes through the banking, world banking, planning out a one-world fascist system. Professor Quigley, Bill Clinton's mentor, talked about that in his book, Tragedy and Hope, A History of the World in Our Time. Go right ahead.
Well, let's link some more dots. I'll contend that in the United States, not only are we dealing with this funny money system that concentrates all economic control in the hands of very few, and they're not all Americans, they're very few internationalist bankers, but we also have working methodically the globalist effort to abolish private property. The UN's been very clear in numerous statements that they feel that private property works as a social impairment to equity amongst people and between nations. So their expression is to abolish private property. Well, one way you do that is by converting domestic economic systems from free enterprise, where you go out and form a business and begin trading with people, to public-private partnership, where in order to do the business, you've got to be a partner with government. Now, not all industries have gone to public-private partnership yet, but certainly those industries dealing with land and natural resources have. You cannot extract resources. You cannot use landscapes unless you are partnered with government. Now, that's taken us a long way down the path toward the abolition of private property. And, of course, everybody in America knows that Karl Marx was famous for his goal, his number one goal, which was the abolition of private property. But the methodology by which that happens today is different than what most people understand Marx to have sought. You know, everybody thinks Marx was about putting all property into the hands of government. Well, the sophisticated totalitarians knew, and certainly know now, that that simply doesn't work, because government is not competent at administering economic activities. So what they've done is shifted to this idea of public-private partnership, or fascism. Certainly under Hitler, the trains ran on time, because he found business people that he gave license to do certain things to. And that's what's happening increasingly in America and around the world today. So the effort to abolish private property is moving very steadfastly in America, town by town, county by county, state by state, across the entire country. And if that doesn't ring true, just look in your own community and investigate the scam called affordable housing development. Learn what that is. Learn who's doing it. Learn the economic connections between the so-called affordable housing developers and your local government. And that will give you a good mind's eye to be able to see how it is that this new system of economics is infiltrating our lives. And with that goes ultimately our sovereignty, our economic viability, and our freedom. Sustainable development is the worst nightmare that any of us have ever imagined. And yet, increasingly, in looking at our local newspaper, which is part of a globalist conglomerate that owns newspapers all across the country, you'll see reference to sustainable this and sustainable that. And, of course, they intend to inference for people.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back here in just a moment with Michael. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Of course, people really don't understand. There is a massive plan. They own the newspapers. Have you ever noticed how the newspapers always embrace so many of these ideas? For instance, almost every newspaper in America tries to create the impression that global warming is a reality. Of course, what are we talking about? We're talking about 0.6 degrees over the last 100 years, and, of course, most of that warming actually took place before 1940. 6/10 of a degree, and this is supposed to change everything. They tell us the polar ice caps are melting. They don't tell you the polar ice caps on Mars are melting, too. We're in a warming cycle. We've been at it for 400 years, and, of course, this is not a major problem. In fact, there's some people who are even beginning to talk about the possibility of global cooling again. But they're using the so-called threat of global warming to justify dramatically changing our form of life under the name of sustainable development. We've got to be able to sustain what we have, to sustain our natural resources, but not to sustain the way of life we have today, but the way of life that they want to impose upon us, which is one of poverty, impoverishment, and enslavement. And whenever you see the term sustainable development used, think of socialism, think of fascism, because that's really what it's about. Our guest today is, of course, Michael Shaw. And he actually, through his ministry, he has a great organization, Freedom Advocates. You can actually get copies of the Agenda 21 is published by the United Nations. You can get his material on sustainable development. It's so vitally important that you understand that what is happening today is not by accident. The price of oil is not going up by accident. They've created artificial shortages. After all, it's the environmentalists that have blocked the development of nuclear energy. It's the environmentalists that have blocked the drilling for oil on public property, Sydney, and if you try to drill for oil on your own property, they'll make your life miserable. Developing the great oil fields we have off the east and west coast in Alaska and Anwar. And who funded the environmental movement? Why, the oil companies. And these same people, they want the problem, ladies and gentlemen. They don't want a solution. They want the problem because they want to be able to control you. And when you understand that, everything begins to make sense. Michael, you go right ahead.
Well, it's unfortunately so true that we are being set up. And the answer isn't to run to the Democrat Party or to run to the Republican Party. The Republican Party is a member of the International Democrat Union. What's the International Democrat Union? Well, it's a consortium of 80 political parties from around the world, led by the Conservative Party of Great Britain, the Labour Party of Australia, and the GOP. George Bush Sr. and the governor of Mississippi, Haley Barbour, are two of the leaders from the United States in the International Democrat Union. Well, the purpose of the International Democrat Union, in their own words, is to bring about the United Nations Declaration of Human Rights worldwide. That means overthrowing the Declaration of Independence, subjecting us to an international document that, in its own words, Article 29, Section C, says that the rights and freedoms granted in this document are subject to revision and withdrawal as determined by the United Nations.
And in contrast to, of course, the rights of man under our Declaration of Independence, which come from God, and they are not restricted in any way. For we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal and endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, among which are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, and governments are instituted among men with the consent of the governed to pursue that goal. And that's what it's all about. Do you have God-given rights, or do you have rights that are given by the United Nations that can be rescinded at any time by the wicked people who control the United Nations, who have a different worldview? Because they want to control all mankind, and they want to dramatically reduce the population of the world, and they're, well, in the process of doing it today with wars, and with new diseases, and with famines. And ladies and gentlemen, these things are not happening by accident. Long-range planning. But of course, we can't let the American people know that we've targeted them. We've specifically targeted their children. Go right ahead.
Let's talk about another dot that I think helps to link this chain together. And that's what I call communitarian law. But to understand the big picture, you need to recognize that the advance of communitarian law is moving us from a system of equal justice, as described in the Declaration of Independence, you read some of the beautiful language there, to a system of social justice. We're being transformed every day to meet the so-called equity requirements of sustainable development. American law was written to protect the individual. the evolving communitarian principles protect the interests of society as discerned by a manipulative elite power base and their field agents, and those field agents are in your town.
We'll be back in just a moment here at Radio Liberty. Okay, Michael, go right ahead.
Well, so we've talked about the money system, the monetary system, how the creation of funny money is concentrating the power into a few hands, and how the effort to abolish private property in accordance with fascist principles is moving forward fast and swiftly in America, and how our justice system is changing from individual rights into community rights. But the fourth dot that I'm going to link here is the educational indoctrination that is rampant in this country. You know, many will understand the globalist takeover in America when they realize the level of educational indoctrination in our government schools. Now, for several years, I've asserted that California has made the environment central to the teaching of all school subjects. And this has happened through state legislation. In May of 2007, the Santa Cruz County Office of Education announced it plans to include environmental agenda in all subject areas and in all grades. A similar program has been introduced in 19 other California counties. It's important that mom and dad find out just what is happening in their schools. The Federal Department of Education has proclaimed 2006 to 2015 as the decade of sustainable development education. I don't know how many people might remember the 1980s TV movie starring Kris Kristofferson.
Now you're talking about America?
Called America with
right.
a K.
Right.
You know, and if you recall that movie, after the takedown of the American government was instituted, it was within 1 week that the teachers were prepared and the children were had been ready to accept the idea that America was no longer the land of the free. And a totalitarian educational system instantly arose up. We're in that position today.
They're using our schools to train our children to believe in sustainable development, to believe that homosexuality is completely normal, to believe that premarital sex is all right, to believe, of course, that the wave of the future is through socialism, ever more government control, and through the United Nations, this idea we're going to do away with war by having world government. Heavens, it's the people who want world government who create all of the wars. That's the reason that they created the First World War and the Second World War and the Vietnam and Sydney and Korea. And Gulf War I, Gulf War II. It was the people who want world government who created all those wars, and that's why our boys are fighting and dying over in Iraq today. And that's why, of course, as Scott McClellan commented, you know, they shaded the truth. They shaded the truth to justify getting America involved in Iraq. We'll be back in just a moment here with Michael Shaw. Okay, well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Michael Shaw. And, of course, Michael, before we go on, I want you to tell our listeners how they can get your material. I want you to tell them, you know, what you have to offer, and why they should contact Freedom Advocates.
Well, our Internet address is simple. It's freedomadvocates.org. Our phone number is 831-684-2232. That's 831-684-2232. When you get to Freedom Advocates, you're going to find a wealth of information that gives you all the concrete evidence that you need to understand what sustainable development is and how it is infiltrated into every county in the United States. You'll learn about the NGOs that are formalized and accredited by the United Nations for purposes of implementing sustainable development. You'll see how American leaders, our entire Congress, and the three people running for president today are fully enmeshed in the implementation of sustainable development policy. You know, people are starting to be willing to pay more attention because there's nobody who thinks that things are going along fine. And so why is it that that the American society and the American governmental system seems to be falling apart. Why is it that they tell us that there's 2% inflation and yet things have become massively expensive? In this county, average home price is $800,000. Now, that's not for some palace. That's for a 40-year-old, small, very ordinary home. $800,000. Now, how's the next generation going to buy homes like this? Well, I'll contend they're not if we stay on the sustainable development path. They'll be assigned government housing along a railroad track, and they'll be assigned jobs, and their children will be raised by government daycare centers. This is where we're moving to very quickly. It's easy to begin to see that in this community, in really every community. You can see how borders are being broken between the United States and Mexico, or you can see how borders are being broken between the state of Nebraska and the state of Iowa.
Okay, well, Sydney, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. If you have a question for Michael about this subject, it's a vitally important subject. You have to understand that what is happening is not by accident. The people who are doing this know exactly what they're doing. They just don't want the American people to know what they're doing. So you go right ahead with your story, Michael.
Well, and yet there are certainly many useful idiots in this brigade. You know, I can't tell a listener today that John McCain knows what he's doing. But he's certainly doing the bidding of globalist interests when it comes to the implementation of sustainable policy.
But then isn't so Obama and Hillary Clinton all doing the same thing?
Oh, absolutely. You know, many people seem to think, who become somewhat informed about sustainable development, the Democrat Party has been doing this for a long time and they're a lost cause. Well, speaking as a Democrat myself, I'd say, well, that's true. But understand the Republicans are doing it also.
As a Republican, at least I was a Republican, I don't know what I am now, but I certainly was on the State Central Committee for many years, and but of course until I found out that they'd simply been taken over by the same people who control the Democratic Party, and it was all a game. But a dangerous game, because of course when the same people control both political parties, then of course the people have no place to vote unless they of course want to go to a third party, and of course they'll do everything they can to conceal the fact that the third party even exists. In fact, probably most Americans don't even know that Ron Paul is still running for the presidency. And, of course, I believe in the last primary, he got 25% of the vote. Why, if people had known he was running, he might have even won the election in that state. But, of course, they can't let the American people know there is another alternative other than Tweedledum or Tweedledee, or either Amos or Andy. Go ahead.
Well, I think that's right, although I think the sad news there is that And this doesn't, I think, include Ron Paul, but the Libertarian Party has a lot they're self-described as anarchist libertarians who argue for the elimination of national boundaries, really destroying the whole concept of national sovereignty. So even the Libertarian Party is infested with the same ideology that has totally swarmed the Democrats and Republicans. Now, Paul is, in my view, a breath of fresh air. I don't think he is an anarchist libertarian. I think he simply wants to restore the American principles so that the next generations of Americans can enjoy the freedom and life that we and our ancestors have enjoyed for 10 generations in this country. But ask yourself, find yourself a seventh grader, a relative, maybe a child, and ask them what they know about unalienable rights. When I was in the seventh grade, and I know it wasn't so much the case in the public schools in my neighborhood, but the sisters were very clear about teaching us the nature of the American political heritage. And that was the recognition that each individual possesses unalienable rights that can't be stripped out of them from government. They can be squashed, but they can never be stripped out of a person because we're born, we're imbued with unalienable rights. But today, our children growing up are being prepared for this globalist society. And I don't think you can find one out of 100 seventh graders who can give you any idea of what unalienable rights are.
What a terrible thing it is to send our children to government schools where they're indoctrinated in socialism and internationalism and environmentalism and sexual promiscuity and homosexuality being perfectly normal, and of course every effort to made to destroy their belief in God. That's the purpose of our schools today. And it's happened because the good people haven't been involved, because the wicked people have, of course, gotten their people onto the school boards, and of course have actually set up an educational system not to educate our children, but to indoctrinate them in destructive ideas. And this is why so many people today, so many of our young people, why they hate, you know, any thought of nuclear energy. And of course, nuclear energy is the safest form of, and cheapest form of energy you can possibly get. But they can give you all the reasons why nuclear energy would never work, and none of them are valid. But it doesn't matter whether they're valid or not. And they believe it because that's what they've been taught in our schools today.
And yet, I don't think by that statement, Dr. Stan, that it should be intended or implied that people on the school boards really know what they're doing. It was Lenin back in the 1920s, in discussing his legions of people, he said, "Very few of us understand the philosophy. Most of our agents are simply useful idiots." Now, that describes school boards today. I mean, I don't think too many. There are some. But most of those people sitting on school boards don't understand sustainable development. They don't understand globalism. They don't know what unalienable rights are themselves. And so they're sitting ready to become part of the agency that destroys the American ideal.
Well, of course, most communists don't understand communism. Most socialists don't understand socialism. Most humanists don't understand humanism. Most environmentalists do not really understand what the goals, true goals of environmentalism is. This is the great tragedy, and this is why it's so important that people get your material. And what will they get if they contact you? Do you still have those Agenda 21s that come from the United Nations?
Well, we have the UN Agenda 21 available. We have the Santa Cruz Agenda 21 program. We use the same name. I don't care what county you're in. You do have an Agenda 21 program for your county. It might be called Common Ground, or it might be called 2020, but you've got a 20-year program somewhere in your county lockers that detail out the generalities about how it is you too will be committed to the Sustainable Development Program. But what we have that's most popular and most useful for communities around the country and really around the world is our pamphlets. We've got two that are published now and a third one at printers right now. But these short pamphlets can identify for yourself and your friends and your neighbors, your community, what it is that's behind sustainable development, where it comes from, and what you need to know in order to beat it. It was Sun Tzu who said, "You can't win a battle unless you know your enemy." Everyone's upset today with the direction of America, but if we don't know what it is that really ails us, we're not going to defeat the onslaught that has been imposed upon us. So the purpose of our pamphlets is to give that basic information. Then you can take it and begin to sniff around in your community and find the examples. And then you can go to battle. And you won't be waylaid in that battle because you'll have a deeper understanding of what it is and where it came from. And that suggests by itself what it is you need to do to defeat it. So these pamphlets, I think, are probably the most useful product we have. We have lots of videos, myself and others, who from around the country, who are explaining, done a good job of it. One video is called America's Choice, Liberty or Sustainable Development, with five speakers, about 5 hours of video. And you'll come away having watched that with a good idea of what it is we need to be worried about.
All right, well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. If you have a question or comment for Michael, this is the essence of so much of what's going on today. And, of course, what you're seeing is a war over in Iraq and Afghanistan, a war we're not being allowed to win. Our boys go over there, they fight bravely, but they're never going to win the war because we're not allowed to. Who do you think's funding Al-Qaeda over there? Why, our good friends in Saudi Arabia, who are good friends of the Bush administration, which, of course, sent our boys over there, but never gave them the correct equipment, never gave them the vehicles that would withstand the explosive devices. Roads had explosive devices. Oh, shucks, we just can't get those built. Ladies and gentlemen, I lived through the Second World War. We could build a ship a day. We could build, you know, 100 bombers a day, you know. But here today, why we just, well, it took them 3 or 4 years before they got around to providing the vehicles that would protect our boys. And so many of them have died, so many of them have lived, but they've got permanent brain injury in a war that we're fighting not to win, simply to fight a great diversion. As our boys go overseas to fight for freedom and democracy, we're losing our freedom here at home. Our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 464-8295. Our guest, Michael Shaw, and the subject is Sustainable Development, Agenda 21, the master plan for the destruction of freedom as we know it. Go ahead, Michael.
Well, if we look at the components of sustainable development ideology, we find as the centerpiece the attack on private property. And we've talked about that some. But let's take a sub-subject and that gets a better focus even. You know, and that has to do with eminent domain. You know, our Fifth Amendment protects us from the government's taking of our property. That is the exercise of eminent domain, with the Fifth Amendment protection of private property. But in 2006, Americans lost that federal protection of the unalienable right to the use and enjoyment of private property. And the way we lost it was the Supreme Court's 2006 decision in Kelo versus the City of New London. Because in Kelo, the court greatly expanded the use of government takings power by eliminating the public use requirement of the Fifth Amendment. Now, this decision was no accident. There was a decision 3 weeks earlier coming out of Hawaii, a unanimous decision, that basically sanctified the idea that public-private partnerships was a superior form of economics in the United States. That was a unanimous decision and set the course for the Kelo decision.
And, of course, the whole idea is, of course, that they want to take your property in the name of the public good to give to one of their buddies who gives a lot of money to the people running for political office. That's perfectly all right because you don't have your right to your personal property. Let's go to Sterling, who's calling from Washington State. Hi, Sterling. How are you doing? Do you have a question or comment for our guest?
Yeah, I was just wondering. I had a question about nuclear energy. If all the cities in America implement the nuclear power plants and we get bombed, isn't that going to spread radiation exposure?
Well, who's going to bomb us? Yeah, you see, basically, what you have to understand is that a nuclear power plant has a containment vehicle, a vessel that is so strong, of course, you could crash a 747 into it or a speeding freight train, and it would not release any nuclear energy. The more people died at Chappaquiddick and Ted Kennedy's car that have died from civilian nuclear energy in the United States. But you're never told that. You're told to fear nuclear energy. My son actually served on a nuclear carrier. And, of course, all of our major carriers are actually powered by nuclear power plants. How many young people have died in the military, you know, on one of our carriers? You have to understand that this is not explosive. Nuclear fuel rods are they're radioactive. But the whole idea, do you know how they generate electricity with a nuclear power plant, Sterling?
Heat generated, it's
basically a steam power plant. That's what it's all about. And the nuclear energy produces heat that warms the water that produces steam. So what do you want? Should we go ahead and simply destroy the industrial capacity of our country, or should we go to nuclear energy? Because they're certainly not going to allow us to continue generating electricity with coal, and oil, or natural gas. What do you want? Should we just turn off air conditioning, turn off our electric heat, close down our factories? What do you want?
Oh, it would be nice to be energy efficient and not dependent on other countries for energy, but this seems like another Chernobyl would happen.
Do you know anything about Chernobyl?
There was the reactor.
Do you know about the containment vessel there at Chernobyl? There wasn't any. They had a tar and gravel roof. They had a tar and gravel roof at Chernobyl. But, of course, they're never going to tell you that here. They did not have a containment vessel. I think that they've created fear in your heart. What do you think, Michael? Do you think that Sterling is being objective, or do you think he's just going along with what he's been indoctrinated in?
Well, I'm not an expert on nuclear power, but I certainly see how, in general, the American public has been led down a path that leads to nothing but our own destruction.
Well, Sterling, I hope that you'll continue to listen to our programs and understand there's a plan to deindustrialize America, to lower our living standards, and that is exactly what you're saying. I mean, since we can't have energy, we can't have nuclear energy, we can't have other forms of energy. Why? Because what would happen if we got bombed? Thanks so much for calling. Well, this is Dr. Stan here, and let's see, we've got Mike calling from Santa Cruz. Mike, do you have a question or comment for our guest?
A modification to, if I may,
sure, go ahead.
What Mike said about the public use in the Kelo decision.
Right.
It didn't really eliminate the public use. It said that economic development is a fulfillment of the public use, and that could be done through private enterprise.
Well, that's the first time the Supreme Court in over 200 years has done that. They basically changed the term public use to public purpose.
Right.
And public purpose allows the kind I'll call it fascist public-private partnership arrangement that had never been sanctioned in American economic or legal history any time prior to that.
Well, the idea is that the economic development increases the tax base, in other words, taxes that can be collected, which then supposedly benefits the public, thereby satisfying the public use phrase of the Fifth Amendment.
That was a novel idea after 220 years, and what it means is, practically, what it means is that if you live in a neighborhood and Pfizer Corporation wants to come and build a giant manufacturing plant and build a 100-acre parking lot, the 500 homes that had previously occupied that parking lot can be taken by the government so that Pfizer can do that. And that was the exact circumstance in Kelo. Mm-hmm. And by opening that door, no homeowner, no business person is safe from a Hitler-esque type of economic dynamic, because that's exactly how Hitler ran his economics. He wanted it he wanted to give Schindler a factory, and if you happen to own a house or ran a business on the land that he wanted to give to Schindler for building a factory, then too bad.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Okay, fine. Well, thanks for calling, Mike. And Roger, I'm afraid we're out of time. Not going to get to Roger is calling from Allentown. But, Michael, I think what you're doing is so important. Why don't you go ahead and give us your webpage and your telephone number one more time.
It is freedomadvocates.org, and the phone number is 831-684-2232. Go to the website. You can find a lot of materials that are available to you for distribution in your community, and so that we can widen the circle of people who understand how America is being taken down as we talk. Because if we do nothing, our children are going to end up in a world that we ought to be ashamed for having delivered to them. And if you're a baby boomer, it's going to hit before your natural life ends.
Amen to that. We're out of time, but God bless, Michael. Thank you so very much. Great program this evening, and we'll talk to you later.
Thanks
so much. And this is Dr. Stan. We'll be back in just a moment here at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan. I hope that you enjoyed our interview with Michael Shaw tonight. I think it's very, very revealing. And, of course, you have to understand that there is a master plan. They control so many people's minds. Oh, we're so fearful of the nuclear energy. Why, we might have another Chernobyl. We don't know what to do with the nuclear, the spent nuclear rods. I mean, we could certainly see a nuclear cloud going up over the top of, a nuclear power plant. Ladies and gentlemen, the enrichment, of course, of the uranium that they use in nuclear power plants could never explode. They just couldn't explode, but people don't understand that. They don't understand nuclear energy, and they've been conditioned a knee-jerk response, as with so many things, to respond, oh, we can't have nuclear energy. What you don't understand is there's a plan to destroy the infrastructure of our society, and that's really what's going on today. Because, of course, what they want to do is shut down our factories to prevent us from being able to have electric heat or air conditioning. What they want to do is get us out of our cars. What they want to do is lower our living standards to that of the peasant of Eastern Europe. And if you doubt that, you need to get our syllabus on the sustainable development, and there you can read a summary of the global biodiversity assessment. Now, you can get the global biological assessment you can purchase it from Cambridge University Press. It's 1,140 pages, but of course it's summarized in our sustainable development syllabus. There's nothing quite like that. You need to read the master plan is there. We suggest if you'd like to get Agenda 21, where we have a copy of the Agenda 21 plan for Santa Cruz is put together by the people here where I live. They want to get you out of your car. They want to really tear up the roads and grind them up and use, of course, the dust from the grinding up the pavement and put it on the fields so that, they want, of course, to have toll roads every place so people will not be able to afford to drive their cars. You see, that's crazy talk. But you have to understand these people have a different worldview. What they want is a fascist society. And unfortunately, there are millions of Americans who actually are useful idiots who are going right along with that. Well, our telephone number, of course, is 1-800-544-8927. Let me suggest our syllabus on sustainable development, my talk on sustainable development, the road to world government, and the 4-tape set on sustainable development. And then, of course, we have an excellent DVD on global warming, by our good friend Michael Kaufman, on global warming, to understand that the scam that it is, and yet so many people honestly believe. Why, if we don't intervene soon, why, of course, mankind will no longer exist. Mankind will have destroyed the environment. It doesn't matter, of course, how ridiculous something is. If you say it often enough and you control the medium and Al Gore gets a Nobel Peace Prize, why, of course, they wouldn't have given him a prize for a video and a book that wasn't true, would they? Of course they would. The Nobel Prizes are used to push this whole globalist agenda. But, of course, we can't let the American people know that. So our material on sustainable development, the syllabus, the talk, and then the 4-tape set, very important. You need the documentation there. And then, of course, you need the DVD on global warming. And then, of course, our material on population control, my talk on None Dare Call It Genocide on DVD. My talk on the planned population reduction available on DVD. Our syllabus our pamphlet on the global population control agenda monograph. That's the population control agenda monograph. And you need to understand there really are people who want to kill off most of the people in the world. How do you feel about that? Is that good? Wouldn't we be better? Would you like to volunteer your family to be slaughtered first? And they really are killing people throughout the world today. And the reason you're not hearing about it is because they control the media. And 5 megacorporations control 90 to 95% of the media in America today. That's according to the book, The New Media Monopoly, by Professor Ben Bagdakian. Our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. Our webpage, radioliberty.com, where you can listen to our internet programs 9 hours a day. Pray for America, but please pray for Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and, well, I think the next hour they're going to be those of Melody Cederstrom, who sells gold and silver, and she supports Radio Liberty, and we certainly support her. We think she does a great job, and we get such good reports from so many of her customers. Hi, Melody. How are you doing tonight?
Just fine, Dr. Stan, and yourself?
Well, I was doing fine till I saw what they're doing to gold and silver. Boy, are they playing games.
Yes, they are, but hey, it's an opportunity, folks, to get in there while they give us, you know, they give us a discount in gold, but yes, we have seen gold close at its lowest level in 2 weeks. But when you compare where gold has been in the past 6, 7, 8 months, you know, it's still doing extremely well, even with the pullbacks, and we could see maybe another $10 pullback, perhaps, in the market. So the aftermarkets in gold and silver, they are trading to the positive. But and you see additional pressure on platinum and palladium. But gold has held up relatively well, particularly over the fallback in silver that we've seen. And again, it shows the reasons why you want to maintain healthier percentage in gold than you do in silver because of these pullbacks. And we, percentage wise, silver, yes, can perhaps increase greater than gold, but you know, when we have these ups and downs, and it also has a tendency to decrease, so portfolios should maintain something that has stability, and that is gold. So it's a great time to pick some up. You know, we have to, the powers to be, as much as they hate gold, it always gives us an opportunity. And for so long, Dr. Stan, we failed to mention that gold is the barometer of things that is happening in the economy, the situation, and how, and exactly how uncertain the economy and our financial situation is here in this country. So again, the reasons why they need to keep gold under control, because that is one of their ways to show the American people that they have everything under control.
And I, of course, say, really, everything is manipulated. When you begin to understand that, they play games with our minds. And, of course, one day things are up, one day the market is down. But the one thing they want to do is control the price of gold and silver, because it is the only thing that is of real value. What you want to do is watch what's happening over in Dubai. And if you go to kitco.com, as I do every morning, and watch and see what's happening in Dubai, of course, the gold is always far more expensive than it is here. That's the real world market. The markets here in the United States, they can manipulate, and they can even manipulate to some extent the markets over in Great Britain. But on the really free market, watch and see what's happening in Dubai, and you'll find, of course, that gold is far more expensive on the world market than it is here. And, of course, this is all done by the central bankers who have worked for years to maintain this fiat money system. And the last thing they want is for American people to realize the whole financial system of the world is on the brink of collapse. And certainly the housing bubble here in the United States is collapsing, but it's not just in the United States, it's throughout the world. The houses is falling in value in Europe, in Great Britain, in Spain, and of course here in the United States. The values keep falling more and more, and as George Soros says, and I think he's entirely right, things always go up much further than you would anticipate, and when they fall almost a great deal more than you anticipate. And believe me, housing values have a long way to fall before we get back to any sense of normality in the world today, because everything is mediated in paper money, which has absolutely no value. And its true value is the paper it's written on. Well, Melody, what are you seeing now? Of course, is the prices are down? Are people swarming in to buy? Boy, if I had any funds, I'd be buying things myself. But unfortunately, I'm pretty fully invested at the present time.
Well, you know, it's funny because when you have these prices decrease as we have, and I mean, gold is truly holding up terrifically because when you look at the fundamentals, they're so strong. It's still in the bull market. That will not change. So it's been a little on the quiet side through this holiday weekend that we've just passed through, and many people are still on vacation. There's many beliefs. Usually gold and silver, the precious metals, will enter into the summer doldrums, and a lot of people expect that. There's a lot of news writers out there that continue to support the New World Order, and although they say gold is in a bull market, I don't believe they truly understand the fundamentals, and yet they just want to be right. So when gold goes down, they tend to be a little bit bearish on gold. So they do talk a lot about the summer doldrums. So I think people are waiting to see what will happen. And of course, I believe we're in a time where things can change so rapidly. They can change overnight. And I'm in the area where I believe, one day we will wake up and we will have gold over $100 to the upside, and I do believe everything will change, and that is how uncertain the times we live in, how uncertain the times are. So it's been, business as usual. People have been taking advantages of the pullback in silver and purchasing some silver eagles and 90% bangs.
All right, fine. Of course, I think one of the big traps is the exchange-traded funds because, of course, this actually, of course, established by the central bankers, the people who tie into the central banking system, they've got people to invest in paper gold and paper silver, but you don't know whether it's there or not. And you have no means of checking to find out. And, of course, then they can use that gold and silver to manipulate the market, and they're doing it with your money. And what do you think about people buying gold and paper gold and paper silver through the exchange-traded funds?
Well, I don't think they should. You hear exactly what you said. I do believe these funds are totally owned and managed by our central banks and governments, and they were created for that situation, for their use to control, to help control and manipulate. You don't know what you have. You still have a paper certificate in your hand, so you really don't own gold unless you have it in your hand. If you don't have it in your hand, you don't own it. It's just another paper that you have. And so in the same way with all of these...
Hold that thought. We're going to be back in just a moment. Of course, I'd ask Melody what she thought of the exchange-traded funds in gold and silver. And she says that she didn't think it was a very good idea. You've got a piece of paper, but how are you going to be sure that they will be able to redeem it? And are they going to pay you back in fiat money? She thinks you're far better to have physical possession than simply a paper certificate that says that, oh, we're going to, of course, buy gold for you and silver for you. But, you know, we've seen time and time again where anything created by men can collapse and go under, and you do not know that the gold and silver are actually there, and there's no way to be absolutely certain. We've seen some of the largest corporations in the world teetering on the border, on the brink of destruction. Bear Stearns was the fifth largest investment bank in the United States, and simply overnight, why, of course, the investors in that stock lost, you know, two-thirds to three-quarters of their investment. And suddenly it went all the way down to about $2 a share. I think it's up to about $10 a share. But it had been up at $70 a share. And so many of the people who worked for the corporation, you know, had the stock. And, of course, they were totally wiped out financially. They lost, I mean, from $70 down to $10 a share. In fact, for a time, some of them probably panicked and sold at $2 a share. You have to understand there is no security of when somebody else controls your destiny. Go right ahead, Melody. Of course, as we look at what's going on in the world today, and we find Ford Motor Company telling us that they're not going to be able to return to profitability next year as they anticipated, because they can't sell the big SUVs and the big trucks they've been building because of the high price of gasoline. And General Motors has not talked about that, but they're having exactly the same problem. And, of course, they're having the wildcat strikes. And of course, they've lost, I think, about $3 billion here the first quarter of this year, and how much they're going to lose the second quarter, we don't know. But so many of our major corporations working here in the United States are no longer making the profits that they have in past, and certainly the relationship between the price and the earnings of those stocks is artificially manipulated by the plunge protection team, the working group on financial markets, which works behind the scenes to rig the stock market. So what are you hearing from people, Melody? What are you hearing from the people you're talking to?
Well, it's interesting, particularly over the long weekend. Families spent time together through the three-day holiday, and there was lots of discussions from I've heard from various customers, and my family included. They're very concerned. They don't know. They understand. They relate to the gasoline prices because that's taken right out of their back pocket. That's even in the forefront of the food prices that are increasing. So they understand that something's going on. They're irritated. They don't know what to do. They're concerned. But it was, what's truly disturbing are the comments are so mimic from what they hear on mainstream television. It's almost like they recite what they hear on these news programs, whether it be the financial news networks on the mainstream or even the mainstream news themselves. So they understand, but they don't know what to do, and I doubt if they would do anything anyway, because I don't think the Americans are at that point. Maybe another 6 months from now they can be upset, but when we have an economy that is based on consumer spending, you know, Americans are just too deep in debt to lead this economy into any type of recovery. There's no jobs out there. We continue to see jobs flow out of this country. I read an article just recently where U.S. farms are continuing to outsource to Mexico, and to where they can hire the Mexicans. And sure, they'll take some Mexicans back over the border because now they can get paid just as much down there as they did here. And so, you know, consumers won't be able to save this economy. There's little money on hand. The banks are not eager to lend anymore. And it will take years for consumers to straighten out their household budgets if they can. Because if one of them loses a job, it'll be even more difficult because they'll be replacing a $20 an hour job with a $7, $8, or $10 an hour job. So the consumers won't have the cash to take this economy anywhere, and it's going to be a lot longer than a few years.
Well, I think it's really so funny. The American people really believe what the government says. Mm-hmm. We have a core inflation of 2.1%. We have a true inflation, including fuel and food, at 4.1 or 4.2%. And yet, of course, look and see what's happened to the price of steel. It's gone up, you know, about 30% in the last couple of months. Look what's happened to the price of gasoline. Certainly it's gone up, you know, about 70% over the last couple of years. You know, look what's happening to the price of food. Go to the grocery stores, and, of course, the price of food is going up and up and up and up. And the American people honestly believe that the government is being honest with us. Of course, they're being about as honest with us about the rate of inflation as they were about why we went to war in Iraq. And, of course, Scott McClellan, in his new book, which just has come out, former press secretary for the President Bush, said they shaded the truth. They shaded the truth. There was no reason to go to war in Iraq. And, of course, a million people have died. Well, here in the United States, they're simply not telling the truth about inflation, according to Bob Chapman, who certainly Melody knows very well. He says that the current rate of inflation is about 12 5/8%. And, of course, if you look at the M3, it's running about 18%. And we know that one of the fellows from the Council on Foreign Relations, I believe his name was Stelling, something like that, has recently given a speech where he acknowledges, of course, that the M3 rate, which is really the credit and money that's being created, he says it's running about 17%. The figures we get from Shadow Statistics and from Chapman and others, about 18%, which means by the end of this year we'll have 15 to 18% inflation. And that means, of course, that you are losing that much from the value of your insurance policy, of your pension, literally from everything else you have. Our telephone number, of course, is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. If you're out there, if you have a question on the economy, because, ladies and gentlemen, the economy of the United States is in serious straits today, and there's no incident in all history where a fiat money system has survived. They tried it in ancient Greece, they tried it in ancient Rome, they tried it in Florence, they tried it, in Venice. Of course, this was in the 16th, 15th, and 16th centuries. It did not work there. And, of course, it certainly did not work in the Weimar Republic. It's not working in Rhodesia today, where they have 1,000,000% inflation. 1 million. I mean, just as a few months ago, they were 15,000% inflation. Now it's up to 1,000,000%. They're actually printing $500 million and $1 billion notes over. That's B with a boy, billion. And remember, that's the government that was installed by our State Department. Maybe it was just a trial for what the future holds. I mean, we are in real trouble because we have nothing behind our currency other than the integrity of men like George Bush, who actually shaded the truth to take us into a war. And, of course, the war really was very successful. It's distracted us from what's really going on at home here. But, you know, the interesting thing, I think that we're seeing more and more interest in what's happening with oil. We've sold 50 copies of Lindsay Williams' book, The Energy Non-Crisis. Since Tuesday of this week, 50 copies of The Energy Non-Crisis have gone out through our ministry, trying to get people to understand what's going on, and certainly they're getting our four tapes out on the oil deception. That's the oil deception. We're going to put together a new pamphlet based upon my two articles on oil. And, of course, the oil deception, this whole idea we're running out of oil, we're not running out of oil, the whole thing's being manipulated. What are your thoughts on what's happening with oil, Melody, and how is this going to impact on our society and the finances of our people?
Well, I agree. I believe that this oil is all a hoax, and again, it is, when you talk to people about why we have high oil prices, high gasoline prices, they try to tag it onto one event or one situation, anywhere from, you know, the war in Iraq and to the Saudis and et cetera. But it all comes down to our monetary policy. We have a monetary policy. We have our monetary, our currency, which is basically backed by oil. We are the reserve currency of the world, and that is declining. We're losing. Our currency is being devalued. And we see in that, we see high prices. All the high prices we see in oil and gasoline and our food, it is all created by our fiat currencies. The world is awash in fiat currencies. And that is the bottom line. And that needs to be fixed in order to have anything else fixed. Everything that they do is temporary. And so that is the bottom line. And through these depreciating currencies that we see, we see all the problems that are created. We have the high oil prices. We have the developing food crisis that leaves people, millions of people starving, which creates the food riots. It's just the domino effect where, the fiat currency started, and now everything is beginning to develop as far as what happens when you have currencies that are being devalued. So they can, and it doesn't matter. You can put together all the European central banks, all the power of the U.S. Federal Reserve. They will not sustain these bubbles, and they are doomed to fail.
And, of course, the high cost of oil has a direct impact upon the cost of of our food, because, of course, mm-hmm. the diesel oil is used by the farmers to plow the fields. And, of course, the petroleum products, at least in somewhere involved with the production of fertilizer. Fertilizer prices are just skyrocketing. And, of course, the farmer is in a real bind. He may be getting more for his products, but with the diesel costs, and certainly with the fertilizer costs, the cost of seeds, why his income is going down. And then, of course, we've got the problem with transportation. We've got the problem with the airlines. Certainly, our long-term truckers are having real problems. Some of them are facing bankruptcy because of the high cost of diesel oil. Certainly, our airlines are facing bankruptcy because of the high cost of jet fuel. And people don't understand that the whole infrastructure of our country is beginning to shake. Our number 1-888-24 Liberty. Well, you're right ahead there, Melody, because I think it's so vitally important that people understand that the high cost of fuel, people are saying, well, it's going to fall any time it's going to fall. I don't think they're going to let it fall. It may fall a little bit, but this has been one of the greatest scams of the world. The oil companies have made more than they have ever made before, more than any other corporation has ever made in the history of mankind. And the oil companies are putting out somewhere close to $100 million on a propaganda campaign to make you feel that why we're not responsible just because we're making these fantastic profits. You don't think that we're really making money off of this, do you? And the answer is, yeah, when you're making more money than any corporation has ever made before, and you're telling us that, you know, you have nothing to do with making profits and extracting money from the American people, you've got to figure the American people are pretty dumb. And yet, of course, the oil company executives testified before the Senate, said, oh, shucks, we're not responsible for what's happening. Of course, the solution that they're trying to come up with, and that would be a windfall profit tax on the oil companies, is not the solution. The solution is the free enterprise system and getting government out of this and letting people drill oil. There's lots of oil in government lands. There's lots of oil on private lands. There's lots of oil in Anwar. There's lots of oil up in the Aleutians. There's lots of oil off the north slope of Alaska. There's lots of oil on the west coast of the United States. There's lots of oil on the east coast of the United States. And they won't allow us to develop our oil. So go right ahead, Melody.
I had a report earlier today, and I don't have the name of the company, the trucking companies, but I guess they're pulling, you might know, they're pulling, you know, 400 or so of their rigs out of the market. They're not going, they won't ship. There was another company I was told that they're not shipping or trucking half loads. They will only truck full loads, and unless someone, of course, if they have a half load, they're going to have to pay for a full load. So all this comes through the distribution of many of our products, our foods, which again increases the prices. And, you know, things will not be corrected. And you're absolutely right. These corporations, there is oil to be had, but you have to look at the Saudis. You know, when their reserve currency is the dollar, they will not allow the oil prices to fall as our currency is falling. They're going to have to recoup those losses. And those losses are, again, you know, they're all working together and they're all working against the people. This is a way to strip people's wealth, and they will continue to do it by the works of the central banks, through our federal government, our Federal Reserve, and through Wall Street. And I guess there's bills out there which, I guess, was it India, I believe, who restricted the speculation of future contracts on food commodities. And it's, you know, we look at the oil prices, but then we also look at some of these other products in which we have the ethanol scam. That's another scam out there where, you know, ethanol is not even a product that saves anyone anything, but it takes our corn off, and again, it increases the prices of our food. So there's too many scams out there, Dr. Stan. and they're all backed by our government.
Yeah, the thing is that ethanol would not be financially viable if it weren't that every gallon was subsidized, I think 50 or 60 cents a gallon mm-hmm. with the American tax money,
yep.
money. And, of course, ethanol really is not good for your car. We'll be right back in a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. And, of course, you know, one of the last rugged individualistic occupations in the United States is driving a big rig. You have your own big rig, and of course, you work for the brokers, and, of course, you haul. Of course, when the price of diesel goes up, you can't just simply go ahead and raise your prices because, of course, the broker is going to pretty well determine what the prices are. So more and more of the rugged individualists who've been driving their own trucks are having problems. And what really has intrigued me is, of course, the Bush administration wants the Mexican trucks to be able to come into this country and, of course, operate with impunity, trucking things from Mexico all the way up into Kansas and perhaps all across the country. This is simply developing, but imagine what you're doing is putting American truckers in competition with Mexican truckers. Now, they don't have to follow the same rules. They don't even have to be able to speak the language. They can, of course, fill up their tanks down in Mexico with a fuel that's much less expensive, so they can actually compete very, very effectively with the American truckers. In fact, they can undercut us at every turn, and just as goods that are produced in communist China can be produced there so much more cheaply than the product, that same identical product with the same quality control can be produced here in the United States. So those Mexican truckers coming in, they're going to bring the products in, but are they going to be able then to pick up products to take back out of this country? What is this going to do to the rugged individualists who are in the trucking industry? I believe it's going to have a tremendous impact down the line. And I believe, of course, the whole idea of what's going on is to destroy the infrastructure of our nation, to destroy the Longshoremen's Union. That's, of course, why the products are coming into Mexico, so they don't have to be offloaded by the longshoremen in Los Angeles, in San Francisco, in Seattle. And, of course, they're bringing in Chinese products, which, of course, can be produced so much more cheaply than American products. But what is this going to do as far as certainly the American trucker? And I think that these rugged individualists, these fellows who wanted their own truck, you know, and they could make a pretty good living, but not with diesel at the current cost. And, of course, this is causing many of them simply to get to the point where there is no way that they can continue operating. And I think we're going to see very, very soon the demise of much of the trucking industry in America. But you have to understand that everything is really aimed at destroying American industry, destroying the infrastructure of our society, and lowering the living standards of the American people. And that, of course, is outlined by the people of great wealth and power in the Global Biodiversity Assessment Report. You need to read it. You need to understand that they openly talk about lowering our living standards, because you need to read the Earth Charter, point number 10A. You can get that on the Internet, the Earth Charter, or we'll be glad to send you a free copy. Understand that they really want to redistribute our wealth. As they say, equitable distribution of wealth within nations and between nations, and they're in the process of the redistribution of your wealth, you out there in the listening audience, into other countries. Those people are living on pensions now. Remember, you can certainly get the same amount of money, but it may not buy anything at all as we go into this inflationary spiral and as the inflation heats up. You may have a pension pays $5,000 a month, but believe me, 5,000 Rhodesian dollars won't even, of course, buy you a Pepsi over there at the present time. And they will cost you $1 million or maybe $3 million Rhodesian dollars. At one time, the Rhodesian dollar, it took $3 American to buy one Rhodesian dollar. Today, why, of course, they're printing $500 million and $1 billion notes. With 1,000,000% inflation, of course, been introduced by the government that was forced upon the Rhodesian people by the American State Department. Maybe it's just a trial run to see how far they can push people. Our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. Certainly, it sounds like the trucking industry in America is in real trouble, isn't it, Melody?
Yes, it does, and I do some advertising with a late-night talk show, and she supports the truckers, and I have noticed, and I used to receive lots of calls from the truckers, and I've noticed how I very rarely now do I ever hear from them directly, so It's going to put many of them out of business, these independents. And, of course, we can never forget that it's all by design. It is an agenda, and people of this country have been conditioned to do and to behave exactly how they want them to.
Well, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 464-8295. If you're out there and you have a question or comment, we'd love to hear from you. We'd like to know what you think about what's going on. Do you really think that the core inflation rate is 2.1%? Do you honestly, in your heart of hearts, believe that George Bush's administration is telling you the truth? Do you really believe that maybe inflation with food and fuel is 4%? Or are they lying to us? And I'd like to suggest they know exactly what they're doing. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this evening is Melody Cederstrom. And Melody, just a moment or two, as soon as we bring our stations back on board, we'll give you a chance to get out your web page and get out your telephone number. But certainly, at the present time, of course, you were saying that there's sort of a summer doldrums. But are some of your customers beginning to take advantage of what's happening as far as the pullback and the price of gold and silver?
Yes, they are. And, of course, when we had the March scare of silver shortages, and there was some silver shortages, some silver products that were difficult to obtain, they are now able to go in there and pick some up. And so it's great that the prices are lower on them. Now that the price of silver has dropped, of course, some of the premiums are beginning to fall back a little bit on some of the items, and we'll just have to take it month by month to see if the mint ever catches up with their ability to keep up with demand. So I'm still not quite sure what that is all about, why they wouldn't keep up with demand, because it is so profitable for them. But then again, when you look at it, it's another government entity. I guess it really doesn't matter sometimes, but then you have to understand, you know, why would they not capture the profits that they could, so.
Well, now, how long is it taking to get these silver eagles from the mint at the present time? Can you actually put an order in and get them in a month or 2 months or what?
Oh, I have silver eagles readily available. So that, you know, there's no delay. They've just cut back their, you used to be able to order like 500,000 and wholesalers now are limited to 100,000 a week. So, because there's been so much demand that people have, when we saw silver going up to $22, and it just created a lot of interest in the Silver Eagle area. So they just couldn't keep up with demand, so now they're limiting the amount that you can purchase. So whether they, you know, go back to their normal standards or keep this limit to see, you know, what happens in the near future, I guess we'll just have to wait and see, so.
But the silver eagles at the present time are readily available?
Yes, yes.
And again, if somebody wanted to come in and buy $1,000 worth, it wouldn't be any difficulty?
Wouldn't be any difficulty at all.
All right, fine. Well, of course, they actually have let up on it. I know a few weeks ago it was pretty hard to get it, but I'm glad to hear they're readily available. We'll be back in just a moment here with our special guest this evening, Melody Cederstrom, gold and silver, what is it now?
Discount Gold and Silver Trading.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Melody Cederstrom. We've got Will calling from Missouri. We'll get to Will in just a moment. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295 if you have a question or comment about what is happening to our country. But before we go on, Melody, would you like to go ahead and talk about your webpage and, of course, how people can get in touch with you?
Yes, our webpage, we have lots of articles and information available on the website. There's also weekly archives of our radio program. The website is discountgoldandsilvertrading.net, discountgoldandsilvertrading.net. And our email address, if you'd like to give us send us an email, and we send out a little newsletter that you can sign up on a weekly basis. It's just an update on what's happening around the economy, and sometimes we'll run specials on our coins. Email is discountgoldandsilver@yahoo.com. discountgoldandsilver@yahoo.com. And, of course, you can always pick up the telephone and give us a call at 800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188.
All right, fine. Well, let's go to Will, who's calling from Missouri. And again, our number 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Hi, Will. How are you doing there?
Well, I'm doing quite well, Dr. Stan. Good evening, Melody.
Good evening, Will.
I have a couple of comments. Basically, you've been talking a lot about the rugged individualist, the truck driver. There's another rugged individualist out here in Middle America that their tail is going to translate into higher costs in the grocery stores. You did mention the large farmers, but in the haymaking business, you know, if you're going to raise beef on a small acreage or even on medium-sized acreage, say up to 300, 500, 600 acres or less, all the way down into the 100-acre range, you've got to kind of make a trade-off. You're either going to raise beef or you're going to raise hay. It's really tough to do both. And I know a fellow that puts up hay. I've helped him several years. And what we do is we go into someone else's fields with equipment and cut the hay and then rake it and then bale it and then oftentimes go on shares. Now, when you cut hay on shares, there's no dollar transaction at the time that it's cut. The custom hay people, I wouldn't call myself, it was his business, I just helped him, the custom hay people don't get paid until they sell the hay to the fall. And the farmer doesn't have to pay for having his hay made. He just walks away. But this year, with the very rare exceptions of close family and close friends, there's going to be very little hay put up on shares. Now, what that does is that means that the man who's holding, let's say, 100 head or 200 head of cattle, he's going to have to reach into his pocket and pay at the time that hay is made, as opposed to waiting until the middle of the winter when somebody else that needs hay buys. So it's a new dynamic to change, but a lot of the people that have small acreage hay fields are not going to be able to put their hay up, which means they're just going to have to let it go fallow. And that's going to translate, because what happens on a small scale in one or two county area, if you think about the Great Midwest with all the cattle production, we're like number two in the nation for cattle production, and we have a tremendous hay crop here. But you roll that out across all those counties, there are going to be a lot of people who are, number one, A, not going to put up hay, are going to have to get out of the hay business, let their hay fields stand, and that's going to put a big squeeze on all the small people who are putting, actually, cumulatively, tremendous quantities of beef into the market because they bring 5, 10, 20 head a year, but there's thousands and thousands of them that bring, and so it's not like the big ranches, but it's a cumulative effect. Are you with me, Dr. Stan?
Well, I am, but tell me, why is it that the not going to be making hay this year? Is it because the diesel tractors are too expensive?
Absolutely. Well,
that's what it's all about. It's the high cost of diesel fuel.
Yeah, I didn't make myself clear there, because when you go out into the field, and let's say we're going to run the tractors that we usually run. There's two tractors, one to cut and then one to and rake and then one to pull the baler. Well, when we're out there, these are big tractors. And so the first job in the morning, of course, is you do all of your oiling and things like that, but then you diesel these tractors up. Well, we're putting 100 gallons in these tractors. And so that's $400 in each of these tractors that you're putting in there. And You add that up 5 days a week and field after field after field, and the custom hay people just aren't in the financial position to be able to bankroll all these small hay producers. Mm-hmm. Are you with me?
Sure, I am. In other words, basically, they're not going to be able to get enough money from the hay to offset, of course, the cost of the diesel.
Well, you'd still jack up the cost of the hay, and that's driving some of the small cattle men out. But the real problem is that it's the holding period. It's like basically we have to go into business with the hay grass, the grass man. We have to go into the hay producer. We go into business with them, and we bankroll them by cutting their hay, investing our time, our labor, our diesel, our tires, you know, all of our time, and all that, then we take the hay away and store it, and then in the wintertime people come and buy it or we deliver it. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
And so it's that long banking period of 6, 8, 10 months before you get your money back for the diesel and all your time. And because of the high cost of diesel, I was talking with my partner the other day, and he says, that's it, not this summer. And so that's, you know, that's not going to change. He makes his mind up, that's the way it is. And I would imagine that all across America, those kinds of decisions are making. Now, where is that going to be a problem? It's going to be a problem in two places, Dr. Stan. Number one, it's going to be a decision to keep less beef on hand, to grow fewer because the cost of the hay is up, way up. You're not seeing that return at the stockyard when you go to sell. And then the second part is there's going to be a lot of people out there with good hay ground, but small hay ground, and they're just not going to have anybody interested in cutting it on shares.
Okay, do you have any thought at all about what Will is saying there, Melody?
Well, it's interesting because lately I've heard some of my customers who have small groups of cattle where they just end up slaughtering them because when they take them to market, the markets don't want them because they can't afford to feed them. So the rancher takes his cattle home and just eliminates them because they can't afford to keep them either. They can't afford to feed them. And again, we're just seeing how the, you know, how this is snowballing into these huge effects, and it affects everybody across this country. And just like Will said, you know, he's talking about a small group of people where he is, but we have to multiply it, and we can see the magnitude of the problem.
Well, of course, I've heard some stories, and I don't know how accurate they are, that a lot of the farmers, the wheat farmers, and, you know, of course, wheat is the staff of life, but, you know, with the rising price of fertilizer, which has gone up dramatically, and then the rising cost of diesel, and then of the seeds that they're buying, they can't make enough money, even with the higher price of wheat, you know, and why bother to plant your fields and take all the, go to all the trouble when you're not going to be able to make any money? They just assume that their land go fallow. I wonder if anybody's out there in the certainly in the farming area who could comment on that. Anything else you'd like to say, Will, before we let you go?
Just closing on this, Dr. Stan, the last stage in this, of course, is that when you do have just a few number of cattle, as Melody said, some people would just, you know, go to slaughter them, but even transporting them to the stockyard, that is a big question too, because if you've got to go, let's say, 150 or 200 miles with a gooseneck trailer, and you've got a Cummins turbo diesel engine in there, and you're running another 150, another $200 into diesel just to get rid of those animals, you know, slaughter on site looks a lot more convenient.
And of course, the other thing is that, you know, my really real concern is that, you know, as this thing goes on, it's going to begin to mushroom more and more and more. And of course, I think we're going to begin to see then the price of beef going up because there'll be a relative shortage of beef out there. Certainly the fattening up in the slaughter yards, they use corn, but of course the price of corn has gone up because, of course, we're using a third of our corn crop for ethanol, subsidized, of course, by the government. And of course, then there's a relative shortage of corn. The price of corn goes up. That increases then the price of fattening up the beef as they do in the slaughter yard. It increases the cost of chickens because they eat corn. Increases the cost of of eggs because the chicken lay the eggs, and you've got to feed the chickens. And so this whole thing where the government interferes with the free market, why you end up with chaos. And I'm really feeling that we're going to see a skyrocketing cost of so many products that we've taken for granted. We've had cheap chicken for such a long period of time and relatively cheap meat. I mean, you go over to Japan, you're talking about $40 a pound for beef over there. And we may complain about the cost of beef here, but it's nothing like that. But I think that we're going to see dramatic increases in all food products. Any thoughts on that, Will?
Yes, absolutely, because now what we want to do is to keep in mind and dial this into our forecast here is that what I'm telling you about is what's happening on the ground right now. But this is going to translate into decisions made all through the summer, through the fall, and into the winter. Now, come next year, it'll be very interesting to see how many fewer people are small stockmen are continuing to do their herds and how many of them have just called over the winter, Dr. Stan. And I think if we roll this out a little bit, that's why I started out saying that we're going to see this at the grocery store. I think in another 24 months, you might be very much looking at Kobe beef in the United States of America.
Okay, thanks very much for calling, Will. Again, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Like to know what you think about what we're talking about. Of course, all the things that are going to drive up food prices are going to continue to drive up oil prices. And, you know, people say, oh, well, oil prices are going to fall, and I hope and pray that they do, but if they do not, this can have a profound impact on every aspect of our society. Whether it would be the air travel, whether it would be food prices, or whether it would be long-term shipping, or whether it would be fertilizer process prices, whether it be plastic, because plastics, of course, are a byproduct of the petrochemicals, they all interlock. And, of course, you drive up the price of petrochemicals. You drive up the price of everything from pharmaceuticals to paint to what it costs you simply to drive to the grocery store. Maybe very soon you're not going to be able to take so many trips to the grocery store. Who knows? Maybe before long there's not going to be much in the grocery store to be able to purchase so that you'll be able to afford to purchase. You pick up the story there, Melody.
I think it was interesting that Will made the conclusion where we look out 12 months and 24 months, and so oftentimes we see things happening around us with a high price of gasoline, and we think of only what is happening today, and we expect to see these things, and I can even relate it to the gold prices. We see these higher prices rising, we see oil prices rising, but yet we have a pullback in gold. Well, things have to filter through the economy, things have to filter through, as Will said, you know, decision making throughout the summer next year and into the summer next year and spring next year. And so this is a long time process, and it all falls together and it takes time. And gold is the same way. Gold will not necessarily respond immediately, but when you look at the long term and the fundamentals, and this is certainly one of the major fundamentals behind the rising prices of items, and of course gold is a hedge against these prices. So.
Well, I think that people are going to have to begin to understand the monetary system. Those who understand the monetary system will be able to make plans so they can survive. The great tragedy is that not one in, you know, probably 100,000 people or 10,000 people who don't listen to programs such as this has any idea what's really happening, or the fate of fiat currencies down to the millennia, because, of course, there's nothing new under the sun. These same ideas have been tried over and over and over again. As you said earlier, they tried it in ancient Greece. It didn't work. They tried it in ancient Rome. It was in 300 A.D. when Diocletian declared wage and price controls to try to control the ravages of inflation, just as Richard Nixon declared wage and price controls in August of the year 1971 to control the rampant inflation at that time, which had reached 5%. Ladies and gentlemen, inflation today is 12.58%, according to Bob Chapman, and yet, of course, they're concealing that from the American people with something they call hedonic, H-E-D-O-N-I-C, calculation of inflation, which simply means that they're lying to the American people. Well, Sydney, Melody, what can we do to try to wake people up? I know you do have your own radio program, and is that a daily radio program?
We have a daily radio program at 4 o'clock Eastern Time, and it is shortwave on frequency 7.415. And we do play it's archived on our website on a daily basis, and it is replayed later on in the evening at 11 p.m. Eastern Time on frequency 7.415 and 3.215. So we do things like that, radio programs. We do advertising in different areas in which programs like yourself, you have wonderful co-hosts like Robert Chapman. He's trying to, his newsletter puts out a tremendous amount of information. And so I believe you made a great point one time where you ask people questions and to help them try to understand what is going on. They are slowly awakening, and whether they awaken to the point of action, it remains to be seen. But we can only do the best we can, and I thank God every day that there's so many of us that are aware of what is going on, so that perhaps that we can do something. And I guess there's a reason for it.
Well, we have to believe there's a reason for it. I believe we're here to do our best to inform people. That's all we can do. And if they want to listen, they can. If they don't want to listen, why can't do anything to prevent them from, of course, losing everything they've worked their whole life for? And the great tragedy is in times of inflation, in a fiat money system, it ends up where everybody loses everything. People have worked their whole life to put away a nest egg, and that loses value. Of course, they have an annuity there, and the annuity becomes worthless because the value of the currency is worthless. They have an insurance policy that's going to pay them, pay their widow $100,000 or $1 million when they die. But if that $1 million won't buy a cup of coffee or certainly won't buy a loaf of bread, it means nothing. Money is only as valuable as, of course, what's behind it, and there's absolutely nothing behind our currency today. At one time, on the currency, United States currency, and I remember this, it said, this note is legal tender for all debts, public and private, and is redeemable in lawful currency at any branch of the United States Treasury or branch of the Federal Reserve. And then one day, we woke up, and the currency had changed, and it simply said, this note is legal tender for all debts, public and private, period. It's not redeemable in lawful tender. It has no value. It's simply legal tender. It is to be used, of course, as long as the people will use it. But the time is coming, I fear, ladies and gentlemen, when people are going to realize that currency is worthless, and they're going to be looking for other refuges. We'll be back in just a moment to wrap up this evening's program. Well, Melody, you've got 3 minutes to wrap up the program for us.
I received an email today, in fact, one of the listeners on this program, and I thought it was a great email, and he made comment where there are expert opinions on recommended gold and silver products is so extreme. There's a lot of opinions that differ greatly, and it is important that when you purchase gold and silver coins that you want to purchase as much gold and silver as possible for your dollars. I do recommend a minimum of your hard assets, 30 to 50%. I believe in times like this, more than 50%. But it's based on each person and what is suitable for them. And that's how we do things here at Discount Gold and Silver. We take a look at what you have and what is suitable for you, and the coins and the different products, what is suitable for you. Always, it is best to take possession of your gold and silver coins if possible. The only other recommended investment area is a precious metals IRA. If you can't bite the bullet and take your funds out of your 401 or your other IRA programs, you can roll it over and buy a precious metals in which the items are stored in a HSBC Bank of New York. And we use this one particular group because they do not release the funds until the product actually is received and confirmed at the bank. So therefore, your product is received. It's not like the Perth Mint. It's not like the ETFs. It's not like a lot of these other areas where you really don't know if there's product there or not. So that is the only other recommended area in which you would not take possession of your coins. You want to keep it simple, 80% gold, 20% silver. Again, that can adjust depending on your own investment objectives. You want to acquire as much gold and silver as possible for your dollar. That doesn't mean you can't diversify and pick up various coins in order to enhance your portfolio. But I like balance. I like simplicity. And I think if you stay with those guidelines, you'll do extremely well. I've seen portfolios that have rare coins. A lot of people can't trade out their coins because they're losing money after 3 years. They're still losing money on their coins. You shouldn't. But I do believe you should sell them, take the loss, and get items in your portfolio that will do, that will have a greater increase in prices to offset the losses that you take. Because if you're losing money after what we've seen in the past couple of years in the gold market, if you're still in the negative on the coins that you purchased, that means gold still has to go up considerably more for you just to break even. So it's better to take a little bit of a loss, and reposition yourself. I've done that to many portfolios, and people have very easily.
We're out of time, Melody. God bless.
Thank
Thanks
you.
So much. Well, this is Dr. Stan. I hope you enjoyed our conversation with Melody Cederstrom. I thought it was fascinating what Will had to say from Missouri about, of course, what's happening to the farmers, what's happening to the people who are baling hay. And, of course, all of this is directly related to the soaring price of diesel. Well, of course, this is the time when I want to suggest to our listeners, if you want to understand really what is happening and the fiat money system, you need, of course, to hear my talk, The Financial Tsunami. That's available on video, on DVD, and it comes with a syllabus. If you get that, of course, there's a special consideration if you get the syllabus and the talk together. Then the book, The Creature from Jekyll Island. And I will tell you that of the items we put out through our radio ministry, Lindsay Williams, book on the energy non-crisis and The Creature from Jekyll Island are the things that put out most frequently. And we put out literally hundreds of copies of The Creature from Jekyll Island and hundreds of copies of Lindsay Williams' book, The Energy Non-Crisis. So we do hope that many of you will, if you're interested in understanding finances, The Creature from Jekyll Island, going into the background of the Federal Reserve System that was formed by a secret meeting at Jekyll Island back about 1910, as I remember. And, of course, it was the financial leaders of the United States, Senator Nelson Aldrich, for whom Nelson Aldrich Rockefeller was named, and certainly Paul Warburg, and Senator Glass, and the people from the Rockefeller banks and from the Morgan banks, and they sat down and they created a plan for a central bank. They would call it the Federal Reserve System, but it was, of course, that was to mislead the people. It was to be a central bank owned by the central bankers, managed for the central bankers' benefit to the detriment of the people. But they had to make them think it was a branch of government, which it has never been. The Federal Reserve System is a privately owned central bank, and the central bankers, of course, are looking after their interests. And behind that are powerful spiritual forces. And if you don't believe that, of course, you need to get my talk on the forbidden secret and the syllabus that goes with that. But even more to the point, of my talk on the planned police state and the syllabus that goes with that. And there you'll actually have the opportunity to read things that are put out by people on the other side telling you how they dominate finance in America. Senator, we have a wonderful little pamphlet called The History of Money, where, of course, you'll get the overview of, and it's really very, very inexpensive, but we think it's very important that people understand the history of money. Then, of course, we have my little pamphlet called The Financial Meltdown, The Financial Meltdown. And then, of course, we carry two other books. One is called The Federal Reserve Conspiracy, written by Professor Sutton, Anthony Sutton, before he passed away. And then the other is called Fiat Money Inflation in France, which was written by Andrew Dickinson White 100 years ago, about something that happened 120 years ago or more, the French Revolution, and what happened when they actually created a fiat money system in 1789 with the idea of creating prosperity through paper money backed by the land that had been seized from the Catholic Church in France. Fiat money inflation in France is like reading a description of what's going on in America today. It's a classic little book, but so important. So, again, my talk on the financial tsunami, with a syllabus, certainly the book, The Creature from Jekyll Island, The Federal Reserve Conspiracy, The Fiat Money Inflation in France, the two pamphlets, one, The History of Money, the other, The Financial Meltdown, and then my talks on The Forbidden Secret, and then my talk on Planned Police State, and both of them come with syllabuses. We recommend you get them. Because, of course, you need to understand what's going on if you hope to survive during the very, very difficult times that lie ahead. And understand behind all of this are powerful spiritual forces. And if you don't recognize this, none of this makes sense. Certainly we ask you to pray for America, to pray for Radio Liberty. Our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
You're tuned to the Global Star Radio Network. Thanks for listening.
Ladies and gentlemen, wherever you're situated on this great, big, beautiful blue globe floating through the void of Yah's creation, it is Thursday, the 29th of May, 2008. My gosh, day after day, it gets easier and easier and even easier to find news stories and to find more reasons for every single one of you. I don't care whether you're so well-informed you know everything or whether you're just so brain-dead the only thing you understand is, do you want fries with that?